The way I look at Tantra, this is my definition of Tantra, is that this is the art of being intimate. And this is being intimate with yourself, with your partner, and with life. So it's really about deepening the experience of being a human being. So for me, Tantra is for anyone who wants to go deeper.
Introducing our podcast guest, Magda, who's a remarkable individual who embarked on a transformative journey of self-discovery and sexual healing. Magda's story began with the heartbreaking loss of her first true love, a consequence of her inability to experience an orgasm. And this pivotal moment inspired her to delve into the world of Tantra. Magda shares her wisdom and knowledge as a Tantra teacher, committed to presenting this ancient practice in a practical and authentic manner, stripped of any misleading information. Notably, Magda has recently authored her debut book, No More Faking It, which is available on Amazon, and we will have that link in the show notes below. And this empowering book is tailored for women, unveiling her signature method of utilizing the four power centers within oneself. These power centers serve as inner voices, enabling every woman to discern with absolute certainty what and who is truly beneficial for her. Join us today as we delve into the world of Tantra, sexual healing, and the power centers that empower women with the remarkable Magda as our esteemed guest. Magda, welcome to the show.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem at all. Thank you for reaching out and wanting to come and talk about Tantra. And I guess the reason why I say that is because I've recently been sniffing around, trying to learn about Tantra myself so I can bring it into my relationship. So hopefully you can help enlighten us today about who and how Tantra can help a woman and who it's for. Tell us a little bit about what brought you into this journey.
So it's exactly what you said. I got into my first true relationship, true love, pretty late. I was in my late 20s. And, you know, usually when you fall in love and you think this is it, like I thought we're going to get married and have kids. And it didn't really go that way because we end up breaking up. And it was honestly triggered by my inability to orgasm. It was really taking a toll on him, on his confidence. And eventually we started drifting apart. And it was a shock for me to see that, okay, this whole concept of being sexually open, of being able to have an orgasm, it's a bigger thing. It's not something I can just ignore, you know, kind of pretend like it's not there. And it's up to me. It's my responsibility to be able to source pleasure from my intimate life. And so this is when I knew that I needed to do something about it, because I got to the point where I was just afraid of even going out on a date, because in the back of my head, I had, oh, but I don't know how to orgasm. So he will not want to be with me. So I knew I had to face it. And it was, you know, more than a decade ago. So I started searching about Tantra. It wasn't so easy back then. You know, if you Googled something, you really wouldn't find a lot of information, but I was determined. I was asking around, and slowly people started telling me, go to India. There is this Tantra school. So I did go to Thailand, and slowly, step by step, I started diving deeper into that community and learning about these practices.
Okay. We're going to really sort of talk about the book today. Okay. So I'm going to draw some references from the book, if that's okay, and then you can obviously, you know, give us some detailed information on that. One of the things I pulled from the book, something you wrote, single woman who can do it all on her own and who doesn't need a man is an empowered woman. On the other hand, a woman who would rather stay home and a husband and take care of her family is looked upon as brainwashed by the patriarchy. A woman's desire for love is often made fun of in modern culture, and we are often called needy for wanting love. So can you talk to us about that and why wanting to stay home and be a mother, essentially, and be a housewife is not such a bad thing after all?
So I strongly believe that we all have our desires and our preferences and things that bring us joy. And I also believe that in our society, vast majority of us are actually disconnected from what it is that we truly want. Mm. And so this is your typical midlife crisis, right? You get to your 40s and you realize that until now, you've been living a life that you don't actually want to have. Mm. And I think for women, one of the big aspects here is that we finally get to do whatever we want, right? We get to have any career we want. We get to be very successful, and it's amazing. And we got so excited about it that we forgot there is also this desire to be home, yeah. take care of your husband, of children. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, mm. it's like, what will make you happy? And I just feel like we kind of live in a society that feels that if you would rather take this path in your life, that you're not ambitious. So women are, I've seen this, women are put down if they say that they want to get married. If they say that they would rather stay home and take care of a family, it's like, what's wrong with you? It's like, you're against women. And I just wish we made more space for everyone to choose their life and what makes you happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. After all, men and women are genetically built for different things. And I think feminism has vastly ruined that in a big way. You know, women's starvation for equality in the workplace and income and stuff like that. And that's great, right? But ultimately, we are not built to work as hard as men, and men are not built to stay home and nurture, essentially. They're, you know, hunter and gatherers. Let's honor what we're built for, you know, and that's kind of what that message really speaks to. Going back to Tantra, who's Tantra for? I guess it's probably for everybody, but I guess what can Tantra heal?
So absolutely, it is for everyone. And I think there's a bit of a misconception about what Tantra is. So yeah. I don't even use the word so often these days, because either someone doesn't know what it is, or they think that Tantra is sex, or that Tantra means polyamory and being sexually open and sleeping with everyone. Yeah. And I always say that this is not the case. You have people with these type of lifestyles who are Tantra teachers, but it's not necessarily related. Mm. So the way I look at Tantra, this is my definition of Tantra, is that this is the art of being intimate. And this is being intimate with yourself, with your partner, and with life. So it's really about deepening the experience of being a human being. Mm. So for me, Tantra is for anyone who wants to go deeper. So very often when I work with clients, especially this is from women, they want to connect more to their body. They want to feel their sexuality more. This is what Tantra will give you, because it allows you to drop deeper into who you truly are. Mm. And it's also about strengthening relationships. So when I work with couples, this is usually the issue. They don't feel that connection, especially if they have kids or if they've been together for a long time. Mm. We kind of lose it. And one of the reasons why we lose it and why it's so hard for individuals to be intimately connected to themselves is that we are very strongly in the masculine energy, which is the outward movement. So I'm focusing on what I have to do. I'm focusing on the food that I'm cooking. And intimacy is the opposite. It's about going inwards, right? And so to go inwards, I need to, for a moment, disconnect from the outer world. Mm. And today, the world really is trying to get our attention nonstop. Whether, again, it's your phone, it's your job, you know, you're driving, you have to be looking, where is all of the other cars, right? So it takes a bit of an effort, or at least an intention, to be able to go within. And this is, for me, the biggest gift of Tantra.
Welcome to this short ad break. Not sure if you're aware, but I'm a personal trainer and have been for years now. So if you like the idea of training and being educated on how to eat for better health, then maybe it's time to hire me as your personal coach. You can start feeling confident, self-assured, and healthy again, so you can attract the best kinds of lovers and friendships into your life today. You can apply for online or face-to-face coaching with me, where I will take you through a hybrid fitness system that covers the three pillars to success, where I take you through the deep work of mindset principles and help you achieve breakthroughs, guide you to understand meal preparation for your goals, and customize your weight training program to help you build a healthy physique that you can be proud of. Find the application link in the show notes of this episode. Back to the show.
Okay, great. Now, is it possible to, hang on, I'll rechange that question.
How can couples practice Tantra at home? And is it possible to do? And what would be some basic steps to follow to get started?
Well, darling, I'm hopefully giving you some tips for you as well here.
Maybe.
So I would say the first thing that couples can do is to start looking at their intimate life and their sex differently. So very often, especially for men, sex is something where you get to, you know, de-stress. You had a busy day and you need to relax. Boom, let's have sex. Or it can be a bit of like, you know, tension in your body and you just want to let it go. What if you looked at your sex life as a spiritual practice, as a ritual, as something sacred? Right? As something sacred. So it's just the approach to sex that changes, that then changes everything else. So for example, and I don't know whether, you know, you or anyone listening, if you go to church or if you follow any practice, but just imagine if you go into church or if you go into a temple, you know, it's a sacred place and, you know, there's a special dress code. You behave a certain way and you do it out of respect for that place. In Tantra, we consider your physical body as a temple. So we want to treat your own body and your partner's body as a sacred place. And the whole act of sex becomes a prayer, becomes a beautiful ritual. And so when you start approaching this from that angle, already notice that your partner is no longer this annoying guy who never puts his socks into the washing machine, right? But he becomes a representation of something divine and perfect. And it's about connecting on that higher level. So I would say this is like step number one. And step number two is to slow down. Now, I personally have nothing against quickies and nothing against like intense animalistic sex. I personally really love it.
Yeah.
But it's also about having the ability to slow down and feel subtle sensations. Wow. You know, it's kind of what you probably will understand as well, because I know you're into health. Yeah. If I want something sweet, because of, you know, how much sugar we add to everything, if I want something sweet, I need a chocolate, right? Mm. Like banana or a carrot is not going to do it for me because it's not sweet enough.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So the same here, because we're so used to intensity and going fast, we don't feel subtle sensations. And that limits our ability to experience pleasure. So the second step for me is to slow down, to reteach your body how to be sensitive so that if your partner whispers into your ear, you can experience a full body orgasm, which is absolutely possible, but you have to learn to slow down and open your senses. So I would say these are the two most important things. And then the third one is have this childlike curiosity. Like, you're gonna make some mistakes, you're gonna laugh. Like, just honestly, one of my best advice for everyone is don't take sex so seriously. Give it some play, just be silly, to laugh, to do something stupid, not understand what you're doing. This is how we learn, that's how we expand.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's also trying to maintain, from what it sounds like, almost like a honeymoon phase every time. Like, that honeymoon phase kind of doesn't dissipate from the whole tantric experience. How is someone meant to know if they're performing Tantra? Like, maybe people are already doing this and they don't even know they're doing it.
Absolutely. I hear it quite often. Like, my girlfriends come to me and they say, like, listen, Magda, I have a question. So am I having tantric sex? And they're describing different things that their partner will do and that will happen. And one of the things I personally believe in is that all women are tantric. We may be suppressed, and most of us do have our sexuality suppressed.
Yeah.
But for us, it's not about learning anything. Mm. It's not even about necessarily developing a skill. It's about releasing anything that is suppressing and limiting your natural expression.
Yeah.
But in that natural state, you are tantric. Like, this is how sexual energy moves in a female body. And then traditionally in Tantra, it was always women initiating men into Tantra. And I think that the more a woman opens up, and then if you're with your partner, you will naturally bring him into that deeper state as well. But absolutely, like, so Tantra, like I said, it's a natural state. So a lot of people are already tantric, even though they never studied anything. It's because mm-hmm. their energy is open and it flows beautifully through their body.
Yeah, right. Okay, cool. Now, tell us about the time that you spent in Thailand. So you talk about how you discovered Tantra. You took a trip to Thailand and there were some pretty wild experiences. So what happened there? Like, who would have thought Thailand of all places?
Yes, and I have to say now that it's been a few years, I'm realizing that, yes, it was a tantric school, but really it was a sex cult. So there was a lot of sex going on. We were absolutely, we were told to have a lot of sex, like to the point when I was told that if I don't have more sex, if I don't take more lovers, then I will never heal. So there was like a lot of pressure to be having sex.
Right.
Yes, yes. And, like you say, who would have thought that, you know, this could happen in Thailand?
Yeah.
So, you know, we were this foreign community living in Southeast Asia in a culture that's very different. So of course, a lot of these things were happening like behind the closed door. We had to be very careful about what we were doing. So, you know, so we would not upset and disrespect the local culture, which still happened a few times. Mm. But it was like a hidden school on a small tropical island in Thailand. When I got there, so I already, by the way, before I even got there, I heard stories that teachers have sex with students and, oh my God, all the things that happened there. And I was so triggered when I first heard it. But by the time I was coming to that island, that's what I wanted. I was going there because I wanted all the sex. And so when I landed, I joined the classes and then I connected with one of the teachers. It was my first experience of having tantric sex. And then I had my first sex ritual. It was literally five people and it was a birthday gift for one of the guys from the school. Mm. Then I had my first sex party. So the things that happened there, it's really crazy. It's really crazy. But that's not my lifestyle now, but I am very grateful for this because I got to experience a lot of things and got to see really the spectrum of sexual experiences.
For sure. So how did you find going from how would you sort of describe your sex life prior to going to Thailand? And were there very uncomfortable moments with it all? And then when you embraced the whole culture in Thailand, was it like kind of the new normal for you?
At that moment, yes. So, you know, how was it before getting into the tantric community? I always liked sex, but I don't think I was fully aware of how uncomfortable I felt around it. Mm. And truth is that I was actually having sex for my men. So I remember, you know, one time this guy was telling me about a girl that he met and how amazing their sex life is because, as he said, he can feel that she is there for herself.
Mm.
And it got me thinking and I was like, oh my God, I am not there for myself. I am there for the guy. Mm. Like, yes, I'm enjoying it, but to be honest, it's my way of trying to please him, impress him, and give him what he needs so that he stays.
Mm.
So it was like a big aha moment for me. And when I got into the tantric community, I, for the first time, started exploring sex truly for myself.
Right.
So I don't know if it's something that you ever experienced or anyone listening, but it was very true for me that if there was a certain position or stroke that I liked, but he didn't, I wouldn't ask for it. And if there was something that he really liked that I wasn't very excited about, I would do because he liked it.
Mm.
And so I managed to become a bit more selfish when I was in this tantric community to really know, what is it that I like? How do I really enjoy having sex? And then ask for it. You know, and if there's no compatibility, if you want things that I don't want to do, I just won't. We're not a good match. And that's also okay.
Yeah.
So I started really honoring my preferences and my pleasure much more. I think this was the biggest difference.
Mm.
And then, I got into doing some crazy things. But I feel sometimes we find balance by going, you know, from one extreme to another. And I think that's what happened, right? So pretty, pretty sexually suppressed, even though I wasn't really aware that I was.
Mm.
From there, I went into these crazy experiences. And then I managed to find my balance that I am much more open, but I also respect my boundaries.
Yeah, okay. So How would you describe your time there overall? So obviously you're grateful for it and you got what you needed from it. So like how long were you there for?
Probably. It was almost 4 years.
4 years. Wow. So the whole sex culture, that was all happening throughout that whole time. Yeah. And obviously people sleeping with each other and stuff, do they take sexual health pretty seriously over there? And is it sort of part of the culture to get checked regularly and things like that?
So bear in mind that this was a community where most people were practicing polyamory. So you had multiple lovers. Yeah. And when it comes to safety, I mean, I do have to say that when I look back at this, I'm like, how on earth did I not get anything? Mm. Because so condoms were not very popular. And I will also say, I personally don't really like condoms much. Mm. But at the same time, I don't want to be on the pill because I was on a pill for many, many years. I am off the pill. I love my cycle. I love my bleeding. Like yeah. For me, and it's part of being connected to, you know, being a woman. I love it. Mm. So of course you do. I like right now that I'm out of the community, I fully, fully, fully believe in taking care of your health and making sure that you're not putting yourself or the other person at risk. But yeah. Over there, oh my God, it was. And I also think it's something that every couple needs to discuss because even if you want to have a threesome, mm-hmm. already that, like, you know, this is like the biggest fantasy for men, but start discussing logistics of that. It's not easy. Totally. Like the things yeah. you need to consider to make sure that everyone is healthy makes yeah. it logistically really challenging. But one thing that was happening in the community is that men were practicing non-ejaculation, which basically meant that you didn't have to worry about getting pregnant. So that was like one positive aspect for that.
Mm. Mm. In the book, you talk about having four power centers. We're meant to work with all four power centers together, so our energetic centers. You mentioned that we're not meant to go through life alone. We're never meant to feel alone, and that your power centers are kind of like your best friends who love you, care about you, and you can basically count on. Can you talk about in more detail about the four power centers and how people can actually use them to their advantage?
So this is exactly in the book. I describe my life story of how step by step I discovered each of them. And exactly the time in Thailand was when I discovered the power of the third one. Mm. So we have what I discovered is that we don't have just one intuitive voice. So anytime you want to do a meditation and go inwards, check with yourself, what is really my truth? What is the best thing I can do right now? Should I do this or that? And very often this can be extremely confusing. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that because I don't have one voice, I have four. And I call these four power centers. And so each of them, you know, will give me a bit of a different advice and we can find ourselves in a situation when each of them wants something absolutely different. And so if you don't know that there are four different centers speaking to you and giving you their unique perspective, you can feel like you're going crazy, right? It's like, I don't know what I want. What should I do? Mm. It doesn't make sense. And one of the things that I find for women to be true is that because we don't actually understand how to work with intuition, mm-hmm. we end up asking others. And like I know from myself, I'm going to ask my coach. I'm going to check my astrology reading. I'm going to ask my father. I'm going to ask my friends. Like I'm going to ask everyone else yeah. because I don't fully trust myself. Sure. So for me, these power centers, it's a system of being able to trust myself mm-hmm. and knowing that the person who can give me the best advice for my life is myself. Mm-hmm. And so these centers are, it's your head, mm-hmm. your heart, your gut, and your pussy. Do you want to dive into them?
Okay, so can you give us a small example of each one then?
Yes. So I'll start with the story in Thailand because this is what we spoke about. So as you can imagine, this is the power of the pussy. So most of my life until that time, I actually did not prioritize my pleasure. Like I said, sex was more for a guy, not necessarily for me. Yeah. I like maybe like you, I don't know if that's your story, but I know a lot of us come from like a very masculine background. So I went to a business school. I, you know, worked for a big corporation. So I was very much focused on achieving goals and just my pleasure was not prioritized. Mm. So my pussy was practically ignored. So exactly. Then when I go to Thailand into a tantric community, which is all about pleasure, of course, my pussy was very, very happy. And she just, you know, she went crazy. She was like, let's do everything because now it's finally my time. Okay. So this is one of our centers. Yep. So we have our head, and this is exactly this masculine drive, being able to set goals, like even us, right? Being able to organize this podcast, this recording, you know, it requires, we spoke about it, requires sending a reminder, setting the equipment. This is the head, right? So it's very helpful, especially in modern times when we want to build something, when we have our businesses and our goals. And you know, I want to make sure that the first obstacle that I meet on my way doesn't stop me from achieving what I want. Mm. This is where the head comes in. Then we have our heart. And of course, heart is beautiful. It wants love and connection. But I think it's also important to remember that the heart can be a bit naive and think that it's all about love. And we know from experience that it's not necessarily that. Mm-hmm. Like if you want a good relationship, you got to have love, but at the same time, you got to make sure you're compatible and that the person is actually a good, decent human being. Mm-hmm. While the heart is like, oh, he may be an asshole, but he loves me, so we're going to stay. So that's the heart. And then the gut is about our safety. You know, gut is there to kind of say, hey, listen, don't go on a date with this guy, or better not to have sex, or just like don't invest in it. You may really get in trouble if you follow this path. Mm-hmm. So as you can see, they all kind of give us a bit of different perspective because they're focusing on different aspects of our lives. Yeah. And this is why exactly, right, when you work with all of them, this is when you can get a full view of yourself. Like, you know, ultimately these centers are parts of you. They tell you what you need and what you want. And so when you speak to all of them, right, you feel more confident in what to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever think that maybe sometimes your head and heart will be conflicting? Absolutely. Conflicting to your pussy, for example, and then what was the other one? So pussy, head, heart. And
so we have the head, heart, gut, and pussy. And absolutely, yes.
And so when they're in conflict, what do you do when they're in conflict?
So this is actually, this is kind of the key of working with the centers. Yeah. Because being in the moment when all four align, it's extremely rare. These are those moments of like, fuck yes. Like, you know, when you say like every cell of your body says, yes, do it. This is that. This is this full alignment. And it's amazing when you're there. And then probably if you look at your life, these moments don't happen so often.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. I love the concept and theory of the fuck yes. But to actually be in that state, that doesn't happen so often.
Yeah.
In most cases, we're like, like, I guess I want it and I don't want it. I don't know.
Mm.
And anytime you feel unsure, right? Anytime you are a maybe for something, it means there's a conflict between these centers. And it happens. So like I said, it happens very, very often, actually. Mm. So what you want to do, and in the book, I have the practices. And when you get the book, you also get the free meditations if you prefer listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I get specifically through the practice of speaking to your centers. Essentially, what you want to do is talk to them as if you were talking to a human being,
mm-hmm.
and you ask them, so what do you want in that situation, right? So you understand, let's say your head, you know, imagine that you met a great guy and like you're really in love and you would love to be in a relationship with him, but then you get this business opportunity that requires you to move to a different city.
Mm.
Right? So the head will be saying, go get the new job. The heart will tell you, stay because you have this amazing guy.
Yeah.
So you talk to them. You talk to your head. Okay, what do you want? Why do you want it? You talk to your heart. What do you want and why? And then you simply negotiate. You discuss together and you try to find a solution that will feel good to both of them.
Mm.
And from my experience, 99.9% of situations, there will be a solution that will feel good to you.
Yeah.
Even when you cannot, let's say if you choose to stay, right? Because, you know, okay, ultimately love is important. I want to stay. I want this guy. I want to give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can always speak to your head and just ask, can I do something so that you also feel like you matter, so that you feel you're important? Even if right now I'm not going to move to a different city, I'm not going to take this job opportunity. Is there something I can do to take care of my need for my career, right? Like, it's a need. Mm. I want to grow my career. So is there something else that I can do? And that's basically what we want to be doing. Talking to ourselves, you know, finding solutions.
Yeah, wake up the pros and cons. It's funny you actually mentioned that kind of scenario because I recently met someone and it's, you know, the chemistry and the compatibility is well and truly up there. But also with my employer, there's sort of an opportunity to potentially go and run the business interstate. And at the time that I started the gig, I was single. And then not long after, met my new partner and I was like, well, don't think that that's going to happen now because I could go up there and, yes, the weather will be better and stuff like that. But I remember when I lived up there, so this is sort of Queensland. I'm originally from Melbourne, born and bred in Melbourne. I lived in Queensland for 15 months. And, look, the lifestyle is quite beautiful up there. But if you're not from there, I think culturally it's a little bit lacking compared to, say, Melbourne, for example, right? So I thought, okay, and also the dating world was pretty shit up there, I'm going to be honest. It wasn't great. It was fairly flaky. And I'm like, well, realistically, I don't just want to surround my life around work and stuff like that. Like, we've all got to fall in love at some point. And, you know, it's so cliche in a lot of movies and shows and when story writers, they'll always sort of center a story around a couple. One will be more ambitious than the other. The chemistry will be undeniable. Someone will get a job offer to go interstate, you know, and then they'll get a plane ticket, they'll leave, and then you often see them come back because it's like no job offer in the world is going to supersede my love for you because you can go there and go, is this it? But then the other power center is lacking. So the heart power center will be lacking. The pussy power center will be lacking. You know, like, I think there'll be more out of whack if you were to choose your career over true love. What do you think about that?
So I personally do think that, and I think it takes us back to the conversation before that, you know, men and women are different. And as women, we do find a lot of fulfillment in being able to love and care for someone. Mm. So one of the things in Tantra that we learn about is how the energy moves through our body. And, you know, like men, they penetrate the world with their cock and you can see how they sit. They're so proud of their cock. For women, it's our breasts. Our breasts is physically how we penetrate the world. This is our power center and it's connected to the heart center, like the second power center and your heart chakra.
One more ad break before we wrap up this week's episode. Have you just endured a breakup or maybe you're still not over your ex? Deep down, do you hope to work things out and give it another shot? Then you need to download my free breakup guide, How to Use Emotional Detachment to Win Your Ex Back or Set Them Free. Emotional detachment after a breakup allows you to gain perspective, focus on self-care, and rebuild your identity. By detaching, you create space for healing, personal growth, and opening yourself up for new possibilities. You can download your free copy now. That link is in the show notes below. Back to the episode.
So for us, literally, the way we penetrate the world is through love and caring and nurturing. Mm. And I personally believe that every woman needs the ability to fully love. Like if you don't have an outlet to share your love fully, there's a certain feeling of frustration because you know you have this gift.
Yeah.
And you don't have the ability to share it. It's like the gifts need to be shared. I'm not going to quote it correctly, but there's a part in the Bible and I love it because it actually says that not using your talents is a sin. Mm. We are meant to use our talents. And it's the same here. Loving and nurturing is actually a woman's talent. It's her gift. So I do believe that ultimately, if you really have a choice between a great career and great love, probably love is going to give you more fulfillment. Sure. But something that I want to invite women to do, because these choices are difficult and it feels like, I have to make this big sacrifice for love. And when you make those big sacrifices for love, eventually it's going to turn into bitterness and resentment. And you'll be angry. Like, you know, when you finally have an argument with your partner, or when you break up, oh, you're going to bring it back. You'll be like, I said no to the job opportunity for you, and now you're being an asshole. So I think it's really important to choose love, but not make it a difficult and a dreadful choice. So if you know there's this great business opportunity and you know that you want it, don't just ignore this. Don't just gaslight yourself. You can still choose love, but be honest with yourself and be like, okay, I recognize, I acknowledge my desire, my need for career development, for growing, for making more money. And right now I'm choosing love. So if I decide to stay here, if I decide to pick love, what can I do to still advance my work, right? In what other ways can I invest in my business? Yeah. Maybe something you will, you know, a little promise you can make with yourself is that, okay, I'm going to choose love, but I will make sure that I have my undivided focus time every day where I can work. So even if my beloved wants all the time with me, which happens very often at the beginning of a relationship, you can say, okay, I'm gonna make a promise to myself that, let's say Monday to Friday, I have 5 hours just for me and my business. So this is when you get to find solutions that feel good to all power centers. And this is something I would love for women to start changing, because I think we're so deeply conditioned that in order to have something that we want, we have to endure something that we don't want. And I would love for women to change this pattern.
Yep. Do you work with men as well, or just women?
Oh, I do work with men.
Cool. So do you have any sort of examples, I guess, of couples that you might have worked with, or even individuals where they've been in long-term relationships and Tantra has just really reignited a new meaning in their love life?
Absolutely. Even recently, I was working with one couple and they've been together for 20 years. So, you know, for someone to be together for 20 years and be happy, like, they're doing something right. And yet, they even told me this in our last session. They said that for the first time, we're having conversations about sex. We're actually discussing, what is it that I like? What is it that you like? For the first time in 20 years, we're trying something different. So Tantra, like, you can take it as deep as you want, you know, like with everything, right? I can, you know, go for a run every day, or I can decide to be, you know, a professional athlete. It's up to every single person. You don't have to do crazy things. But Tantra and sacred sexuality basically gives you tools and, like, the safe space for you to start actually treating your sex life as something that matters, as something that you can get better at something that you can experiment with, which most couples don't do. You know, we fall into a routine. Like, there is actually a study done that like, after 20 years of being together, the way that couples have sex is exactly the same as when they started. Like, it's pretty much as if you saw the same tape. So the positions don't change, you know, the flow doesn't change. So Tantra basically changes things.
Yeah.
So it literally, like, kind of revolutionizes the relationship, because it feels like it's like you're starting dating again. It's like this honeymoon period that you mentioned. It's like, even after 10, 20 years, suddenly you feel like you are having your second honeymoon period.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it sounds a lot easier to achieve than not, because I was kind of wanting to know, you know, is it particular positions? Is it particular breathing? But it just sounds like it's just about being very, very present in the moment and really, yeah, like you said, being so present that you're really sensitive to touch, taste, smell,
all that sort of stuff, and just being in the moment with that person again. Because, yeah, after 20 years, I'm sure a lot of people just see it as an obligation and a job, and it's like, all right, hurry up, let's hurry up and get this over and done with. And they're so distracted by everything else that they need to do that then they wonder why they feel like they're housemates and not lovers. So, yeah, putting more time, energy and effort into that space, absolutely.
Yeah, so just like kind of very specific tools that you can use, like you mentioned, yeah, breath, for example. So yes. So first of all, being present, it's not easy. Okay. It's like, you know, people meditate for years and years and years to be able to be in a state of presence. Mm. So it's something we aspire to. And what can help is, first one, with the breath, it actually helps to breathe through the mouth instead of your nose. And instead of, you know how during sex, we have a tendency of kind of hold the breath because it increases the intensity, try doing the opposite and try to breathe deeply and slowly through your mouth and relaxing the body. So at first it will feel not natural and you may not like it because it totally changes the experience. But the breath, again, slowing down, relaxing the body, breathing through the mouth is one of the best things you can do to start experiencing more of tantric sex. Second thing is, try to focus on your heart space as much as you are focusing on your genitals. And together with the breath, you will see that you can start moving some of your sexual energy up into the heart. And in these moments, you can have glimpses of true, beautiful, pure, unconditional love. So this is the intimate relationship. And the last thing is, bring awareness to any place where you're being touched. So if someone is touching you very gently, like imagine that all of your awareness, 100%, is focused on that little spot. Yeah. So these are ways how we can cultivate this presence and change the experiences in the body, also prolonging lovemaking and making orgasm much deeper.
Yeah, okay. I love that. Look, I must say, I think I'm already practicing a bit of tantra. So proud to hear everything that you've just shared today. I think we're doing a good job. So yeah, granted it is a new relationship. However, I do see sex as something quite sacred and it allows me to fully step into my feminine because, you know, I work so hard. Coming in the bedroom, I'm definitely a different person, different person altogether. And I love that. I love that, you know, very few people actually see that side. So it's good. It's good. There's one last question I wanted to ask you, Magda, and then we'll wrap it up. So in the book, you talk about how we as humans aren't designed to multitask, whereas we're told that women are great at multitasking. And when we do, you call this process center switching. What does that actually mean?
As women, I think we're all like expected to be superwomen. And we're expected to do everything together. So, you know, it's like I have kids and I have some work and I need to do the dishes. And if you notice, the way our brain works is that it thinks about all of these tasks at the same time. And it's extremely tiring for the brain. So this is not me saying, this is all the scientists, like neuroscience says it, that at any given time, we can do one conscious task and we can do multiple unconscious tasks. So for example, you know, if I wanted to scratch my arm talking to you, I can, because scratching is not a conscious task. So we can definitely do multiple unconscious tasks, but we can focus, or as you said before, present. We can be present with only one. So something that a lot of women probably can relate to is like what you said also, like, you know, you're having sex, but you're thinking, okay, we got to finish soon because I have to do something. So you can be literally having sex and thinking about the laundry, right? But as you can notice, like you're kind of switching. When you think about the laundry, you're not actually present with your partner. You're not present with your body. So that's the switching, right? The switch tasking. And I find the same to be true with our power centers. So this is literally most of my life was like this. I first was focused on my head, right? So basically I ignored other centers. I did not listen to them. I just focused on what my head wanted, was very ambitious, you know, working many hours a day. Then I finally started listening to my heart, but then I basically ignored everything else. And, you know, like probably so many women, I stayed in a relationship way too long. I was hoping that we will, you know, go back to what we used to have. Then when I was in the tantric community, my pussy took over. And so what most women do is, because we're not aware of having these four centers, you start feeling one of them getting kind of louder. right? Let's say for me on the tantric island, it was my pussy. She became very loud. And so I focused on giving my pussy everything she wanted, but I did it at the expense of other parts of me, of the other three centers. So then when pussy was finally satisfied, the other center started, you know, fighting for my attention. Mm-hmm. And so very often as women, we go through life in a way that love is everything that matters and nothing else matters. And then my work matters and nothing else matters. And it feels really draining because you're like, you know, it's sort of like when they say, oh, you have people who, for example, make millions of dollars, but they're unhappy in love, they're overweight, their health is horrible. Yeah. And if you think about it, we want it all, right? We want to have great health. We want to have great social life. We want to have great quality of life. We want to make a lot of money. We want to be in love. We want to have great sex. And so it's about making sure that we connect on like a constant basis. We keep checking with all the centers so I can design my life in a way that I am listening to them and I am making sure that at any given time, those four needs are met and satisfied. And so that no center basically sabotages everything, takes over, rules my life. Because I think we've all been there. When one of these centers basically took over and started ruling our life in a very authoritarian way.
There you go. That's a pretty in-depth explanation around that. But look, ultimately, it just sounds as though we've got to just listen to our bodies so much more. It's really simple. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward stuff, you know, and the answers we seek are generally internally inside of us. And I'm sure there are some more gold nuggets inside the book. I found the book to really start to uncover a lot of these practices around sort of like the page 100 sort of mark. So, you know, you tell a lot about your personal story in the first part of the book, and then it starts to really uncover everything about these practices, which are really, they're insightful. They're really insightful. So people need to grab your book. So that's on Amazon. Yeah. Is it just on Amazon?
So it's basically available on all major online retailer, but if you want an audiobook or a physical copy, this is only through Amazon.
Yes. Okay. So that link will be in the bio below. So please grab yourself a copy. Magda, look, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your knowledge. Really, really appreciate it. Really enjoyed actually reading the book as well. I learned a few new things. And I like how simplified Tantra actually is. It's a lot easier than what I actually thought. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with before we wrap it up?
So first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's been such a joy talking about it. And I'll go back to what you said, that, you know, you thought Tantra is more complex. And I think this is an assumption that people have, that Tantra is this kind of weird, scary, complex thing. And then you're going to discover that you probably have been practicing some of Tantra already. Mm. And one of my intentions is to help people realize that, you know, sexuality, sacred sexuality, is who you are. This is essentially who you are. I don't need to teach you how to be a human. So I don't need to teach you how to be tantric. It's more about coming back into yourself, softening back into who you truly are. Mm. Like you said, all it takes is actually going more within. Start practicing closing your eyes, shifting your focus inside of your body and talking to yourself. Mm. This bring the biggest shifts in your life.
Mm, yeah, beautiful. Well said. Well said. All right. Well, there you have it, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show. Make sure that you give us a rating, whether it's on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Podcasts. And we hope that you got something out of today's episode. If you really loved it, you can take a screenshot of the episode and check that into your Instagram stories. Give us a tag. And let everyone else know about the show as well, because the more eyes and ears that we can get on the show, the higher the ratings go. And it lets me know that the content we're putting out there is actually what people want to listen to. With that said, Magda, thank you again for jumping on the show.